WNYC has reported extensively on gentrification, especially in Brooklyn. For kids growing up in rapidly transforming neighborhoods, the change can be destabilizing. Rookie reporter Kareen Bob Semple has this exploration of what gentrification in Bed-Stuy has meant to her.
My mom's store, Brownstone Books, was the center of my world growing up.
I, as a passionate lover of books, said, hey, maybe we'll try the bookstore.
The store opened in 2001 on Lewis Ave in Bed-Stuy. Our neighbors poured in and out of it constantly for books, conversation, and events.
There's no power before the storm. Just cold steel.
On the block, there was a row of black-owned businesses, an antique store owned by my dad, a coffee shop owned by my neighbor, Mr. Lloyd, and Miss Marlene's Salon, where I got my hair done as a kid.
I known Corinne from the time she was born. The very same day I saw pictures of her that her dad showed me on his camera. And I'm just watching her grow. She got even taller than I am today.
My parents shaped that Bed-Stuy. Before the shops on Lewis Ave opened, we would have to leave the neighborhood to buy books or eat out. After, we could just walk a block from our house. My mom always says,
I wanted to build a community I wanted to live in. I have in many ways. There are many homeowners who came, you know, in the middle 2000s who have said, if it were not for Lewis Avenue when we were looking for a house, we would not have bought in this neighborhood.
At the same time, my dad changed the neighborhood in a different way. He started a real estate company after closing his antique shop.
I showed a lot of people this community who never would think of this community.
And did that create sort of like an internal struggle for you?
If we want to bring up the, and I'm using air quotes, gentrification, I have no struggle with that whatsoever. I think when your mom and I bought in 1995, we were the gentrifiers.
I've never thought of them as gentrifiers. My parents were born and raised in Central Brooklyn. So was my grandma. But I guess they were people who consciously changed Bed-Stuy.
We were welcoming change. We wanted change. Unfortunately, you just can't open up the bottle of change and hope you could put the cap back on. It just comes, and it comes in full force.
And what that force means is that Bed-Stuy will no longer be predominantly black.
And I was thinking about if you're a black person of a higher economic background and you move into a neighborhood like Bed-Stuy.
I tried to explain to my parents how this is affecting me.
I think going
But my dad cut me off.
I want to jump in because...
And eventually said...
How is gentrification affecting you? I don't think it's affecting you at all.
After he said that, I was done. I had more to say, but I felt like I wouldn't be heard. Basically, he thinks because he and my mom own our house and we're not in danger of being displaced, I'm not impacted. But what I didn't tell him is why Bed-Stuy's blackness has been necessary to me. I've been going to St. Anne's, a private school in Brooklyn Heights, since kindergarten. I love it, but it's not diverse. When I was younger, I was one of the few black kids, and sometimes that made me feel like an outlier. Girls used to pull my untwisted hair, exclaiming that it was so boingy. I was able to deal with this because when I went back to Bed-Stuy, I was never the black girl.
They just have a glazed donut.
But now, when I go into restaurants by my house and see that I'm the only black one there, I get the feeling I used to have at school. I'm uncomfortable. I met up with Glenn Pogue, my old next-door neighbor, at one of the first white-owned cafes to pop up by my house, Jean Jandresse. She told me about her roommate, a white girl from Boston.
She says, like, I'm a gentrifier. Like, I hate that I have to be a gentrifier. And it's like, people from all over the country have dreams, you know? They look at New York City and they want to come here and make it, so I can't judge them for wanting to do that, you know? I have similar aspirations. Ultimately, I appreciate new restaurants and coffee shops and things like that. Like, that's not the thing that bothers me. It's mostly that when I go in there and I see that everyone is white and I'm the only black person there, that's what pisses me off, you know? Because it's like, I almost feel like I have ownership over this neighborhood before they do, and I see that there's, like, this sense of, like, entitlement and not paying respect to, like, the way that this neighborhood has always operated.
I know what she means. I don't know why, but a lot of the new people I've noticed either don't see the culture that already exists here, or they don't have any consideration for it, like simply saying hi to neighbors. And if saying hi isn't happening, just imagine trying to talk about gentrification with them.
How long have you lived here?
About 3 months.
I talked to Courtney, a white 20-something-year-old, in front of the Utica Ave train station, and it was just awkward.
Do you know what gentrification is?
Yes.
What's your definition of gentrification?
My definition is taking an old thing and making it new.
What do you mean by that?
Honestly, I don't agree with it, so I don't even want to give my definition of it.
What do you mean you don't agree with it?
I don't like what they're doing in Brooklyn.
Okay. What do you mean, like, who's they?
I would say city council, along with people in politics.
So you wouldn't say that it's, like, the actual people moving to neighborhoods?
Sure.
What do you mean? Like, what do you mean by sure?
I'm sorry. I don't think I can answer anymore.
She obviously didn't want to have this conversation, and I don't blame her. It's hard to realize you may be part of the problem and not feel attacked. I was able to keep asking her questions because she wasn't someone I knew. She represented my idea of a gentrifier. But I know and usually agree with my dad.
Hey, Dad, good morning.
Good morning.
So it's harder to talk with him about gentrification. Eventually, I stopped avoiding it, and I explained to him how gentrification has affected me.
It helped me a lot because living here and being surrounded by people who showed me being black was a positive thing, going to St. Anne's where I was one of the few black kids kind of made me feel strange at times and like it wasn't necessarily like the best thing to be black.
Well, thank you for that because you've never articulated that aspect of going to St. Anne's and how you were feeling.
My dad told me he's a pragmatist, and he just sees neighborhood change as inevitable in New York.
And maybe that's what helps me to deal with this. And it may come off as being cold, but I'm not. I just understand that I, too, will be moved at some point. And life will continue. The sun will rise, and it will set.
In a lot of ways, he's right. When you make a neighborhood desirable, it's safe, there are shops to go into, and lots of places to eat, guess what? It becomes desired. And you can't control who moves in because of those things, or how it affects the people there before. People like Miss Marlene, whose hair salon is closed.
How are you? Yeah. Oh my goodness.
It was one of the last stores that were open at the same time as my mom's, the last physical piece of my Bed-Stuy.
We were all American people, black American people, West Indian people, all together, coming to get their hair done in my shop. But now with the white people coming in, business is no longer like it used to be. Maybe for the week, I would have conquered before, like $1,200, $1,300. And now I can't even make $500 a week. I know I can do white people's hair, but they're not going to come to me. So this is part of why I will close up this year on my anniversary of 20 years.
It's hard to hear that she's had to close her shop and not realize it's the end of the Bed-Stuy of my childhood. I just want to live in a Bed-Stuy where new and old residents play equal parts in how the neighborhood continues to change.
I just want to thank you for listening to my story. And I am so proud of you, Corinne. Just don't forget me when you get bigger.
I will, I promise.
Okay.
Thank you. For so WNYC, much. I'm rookie reporter Corinne Bob-Semple.
Corinne's story was produced by Vera Lynn Williams and edited by Kari Pitkin in collaboration with the local news site, Brooklyn Deep.